Today is the 6th of May, 2017, and we've decided to have a little fellowship at the Pineville House Church this evening. We're going to be heading up to Joplin in the morning to have fellowship with Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And Michael Smith wanted me to convey to everybody the reason he hasn't gotten us the sermons that he's done is he's been having problems with his software recording program, Audacity. And he's been having some computer problems as well. So hopefully we can get that fixed and get those onto sermon audio. I want to remind everyone that there's going to be a talk show Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And the and it'd be 4 o'clock Oregon and California time. And the topic is going to be, why do Arminians hate the gospel? Or why do Arminians reject the gospel? Either one. Reject, hate, abhor. Why do Arminians hate, reject, or abhor the gospel? And why do Arminians hate and reject and abhor those that uphold the gospel of sovereign grace? So you're welcome to join us. I posted this on Facebook, and I have tried to send out announcements to everyone. Ed Henry is not going to be able to be with us tomorrow night. He's in Hawaii, so he can't be with us. I hope that some of you gentlemen will help me out on this program. I invite you to join us, 724-444-7444, 724-444-7444, call in about 15 minutes early, put in the caller ID number 140414, and then put in your guest code 1 and the pound sign. Okay, the other reminder, I want to do this every week for the next, 52 weeks. We're planning a fellowship here in Pineville at the Pineville House Fellowship. And we're planning that next year in May. And just so you know, it's going to be next May the 6th. It's on a Sunday, so you can come in on a Saturday. And we're going to plan on having pretty much an all-day fellowship on May 6th. And this is going to be a fellowship for those who are believers in the sovereign grace of God in salvation. We're not inviting Arminians or free willers or dispensationalists, or we're not inviting people here to try to bring about division within our fellowship. We're not inviting wolves to come and spy out our liberty. Okay. But we are inviting all those that believe in the sovereign grace of God. And you're more than welcome to join us. That's May the 6th, 2018, on a Sunday. And if you need assistance with fuel or hotel or whatever, let us know and we'll see what we can do. We've got a year to do our planning. Okay, do we have a selection? Okay, the first selection, Mark has requested, I guess this is requested by Mark, 163 in the Old School Hymnal, and it's He Leadeth Me. No, I'm sorry. To Thy Pastures Fair and Large, huh? Well, I don't know how large they are. We know that he has people from every tongue, every people, and every nation. That's a lot of people. There's another song that people try to promote. There's a wideness to God's mercy. Well, depends on what you're talking about. Noah, 8 souls saved by water out of billion or however many. The Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to the path of righteousness. Few there be that find it. But God is merciful. And we're told that his mercies are new every morning. And so I'm not sure about this song, but we'll sing it. I don't know if I agree with it about to thy pastures fair and large. I would probably sing it to thy pastures narrow and small. Okay. You want to start that, Mark?
To thy pastures
and large, heavenly shepherd, lead thy charge, and my couch with tenderest care, mid the springing grass prepare, midst the springing grass prepare. When I faint with summer's heat, thou shalt guide my weary feet to the streams that still and slow through the verdant meadows flow, through the verdant meadows flow. Constant to my latest end, thou my footsteps shall attend, and shall it thy hand yield me an eternal home, yield me an eternal home. Safe the dreary vale I tread, by the shades of death o'erspread, with thy rod and staff apply, this my garden, that my guide, this my garden, that my guide.
Okay, the next one is page 49 in the Psalter, and it will be 97B. Rosette would like to sing this one.
Praise you, O star shame, to him God worshiping. Zion hears that she is glad, and Judah's daughter sing. Because of all thy judgments, Lord, thou art the Lord most high, above all earth, above all gods, exalted very high. Hate evil, love the Lord. He keeps his saints secure, and from the hand of wicked men, gives deliverance sure. For all the righteous light is sown, and true hearts gladness claim. Be righteous in the Lord, rejoice, thank his holy name.
Well, there's a lot of songs we could sing. There's a lot of good ones. Let's sing 476. We've all at one time or the other been in the valley of affliction. And God is the only one that can comfort us and nourish us and bring us out of those valleys. Psalm 23 says, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is on page 476 of the Old School Hymnal. In the valley of affliction, hot and dark may seem the day, but there's one who in our trials there forsakes us by the way. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, when from sin and sorrow flee, we shall sing the song of glory from the Lamb of Calvary. 'Tis by grace that here we know him, wretched sinners though we be, for 'twas he who in his body for our sins upon the tree. Then his spirit softly whispers, "Come from death, he set us free," bringing hope that he on Calvary gave his blood for you and me. In the presence of our Father, in the shining courts of God, he is making intercession while we through this journey plod. When the mighty host of heaven, armies of the glory land, out of every tongue and nation, gather jewels to the land. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, when from sin and sorrow free, we shall sing the song of glory throughout eternity. Well, let's sing one more.
Am I a soldier? 304.
Am I a soldier of the cross? Isaac Watts. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cross, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this foul world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Some I would fight and I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. The saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar, by faith it is brought nigh. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thine army shine, in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine.
Well, tonight, there's a lot of things that are going through my mind. You know, there's a lot of people that have to go through an awful lot in this life. A lot of sorrow, a lot of sickness, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment, a lot of frustration, a lot of remorse. And then there are people that, like I've said before, seem to go through life unscathed. They just kind of seem to float through life, don't they? And they don't seem to have a lot of problems. And
when you bring up to those people some of the things that you've gone through, they look at you a little askance, don't they? And they'll say something like, well, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. Now, you know, it's one thing to count your blessings, but it's one thing to remain aloof from those who are in sorrow and distress and going through a lot, and just respond to someone, well, I'm glad I'm blessed. We're blessed. We're really blessed. You know, I've gotten that from a lot of Arminians. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. In other words, you know, regardless of what you've been through, Larry, regardless of, you know, what life has dealt you, it's not what life dealt me, it's what God dealt me. I'm blessed, they'll say. Well, sometimes a person's blessings can be a cursing. Do you realize that? You know, Esau had a lot of the world's goods. But God hated Esau. And he loved Jacob. You know. And so just because you have been blessed with this world's goods doesn't mean that you're loved by God. I can give you a lot of examples of those who had all of the world's goods, but they were not loved by God. Pharaoh had a kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had a kingdom before he came to understand who God was. Look at some of the kings in the Old Testament that had vast holdings and how they conquered many cities, but yet they were pagan Babylonian worshipers. Fast forward. Look at some of the greatest kingdoms that ever were exemplified in history. Look at Alexander the Great, Napoleon. Were they loved by God? Nero. Was Nero loved by God? You know, let's even go further down in history. What about Franklin D. Roosevelt? Okay. Winston Churchill? Richard Nixon? George Bush Sr.? A high-level CIA agent, George Bush Jr., Skull and Bones, Bill Clinton. You know, these people are multi-millionaires. Barack Hussein Obama, Donald Trump, Jared Kushner. Are they loved by God? No, they're not. By all appearances, they're not. Jared Kushner is a Jew. He's into Judaism. He worships Lucifer in the Talmud. And the Kabbalah. They hate Christianity. You might ask, well, Larry, why are you bringing all this up? Well, I want to remind you people that just because it appears that someone is blessed and has all the monetary rewards doesn't mean they're loved by God. Creflo Dollar? Benny Hinn? Multi-millionaires. Paul White. T.D. Jakes. Billy Graham. They seem to be blessed by God, don't they? How about Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel? What about Rush Limbaugh, multi-millionaire? You know, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, the president of Fox, the owner of Fox, Murdoch, who also owns Zondervan, publishers, and also holds the rights to the Satanic Bible. Isn't that interesting? Well, Scripture tells us that you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and what? What is it? You can't serve God and what? Mammon. Mammon. What is mammon? Well, mammon is money. And a lot of people try to get around that. You know, they try to get around it, don't they? They don't want to talk about the fact that they are serving mammon. You know? Why do they not want to serve God at mammon? Why do they want to serve money? Well, Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it says. It doesn't say that the love of money is the root of some evil, or the love of money is a problem. No, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Isaiah 55:1 shows us a great contrast to those that have all this money that we just talked about. International bankers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Asher family, the Bauer family, those 13 families, you know. What does Isaiah 55:1 say? He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." You cannot buy the gospel. There's a lot of people trying to sell the gospel. You know, I mean, if you want to go to Joel Osteen's church, he sells tickets to come to his church. You know, if you want to go to a Benny Hinn conference, you have to buy tickets. If you want to go to a John Hagee conference, you better have your wallet in hand and your Master Visa or debit card handy. Well, the Bible says that, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You know, it says it's a gift of God. Now what he says? He said it cost some money. It cost God his dear son dearly, did it not? But he paid the price. We could not have bought salvation. We did not. We wouldn't have had enough money to even make a down payment on the salvation. God is the one that through his son paid the price for us for eternal life. And there's a lot of people out there trying to sell or trying to hawk the gospel. I'm always impressed when I go to thrift stores and they will not sell you a Bible. And they'll usually say something like this: we don't sell the Word of God. It's not for sale. I like that. I like that. He says, for by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of yourselves. In other words, you can't purchase it. Remember that one fella in Acts that tried to purchase the Holy Ghost? Tried to buy it? Well, there is an interesting thing about this love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And by the way, when he says, what did Peter say? Let's look at that passage in Acts 8. Acts 8. And we'll just go up to Acts 8. Beginning, let's go down to Simon. This Simon guy was hanging out with the disciples, wasn't he? And they were laying hands on different people, and people were receiving the Holy Ghost. And then we see in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. What did Peter say to him? In verse 20, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Here's the message to all those that are selling the gospel. The same message that Peter gave to Simon in verse 20. To repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's my message to all these people that are trying to hawk the gospel. They're trying to sell the gospel. You know? Because if you're trying to sell the gospel, if you're trying to hawk the gospel, if you're trying to buy the gospel, what did Peter say? What did Peter say? Peter said in verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That's what I've got to say to all those people that are trying to sell tickets to your ministry or have your website. You're trying to sell anointing oil. Or you're trying to sell a prayer cloth. Or you're trying to sell indulgences. Or you're trying to try to sell tickets to buy dead people out of purgatory. Or you're trying to go on crusades to make yourself more righteous. How did I get off on this subject? The love of money is the root of all evil. Some people would give up a lot of things before they lost their earthly treasures, wouldn't they? Some people would give up their families before they would give up their house. Some people would give up their families before they gave up their car, their SUV, or their airplane. Some people would give up their families. Some people would give up their, you know, they would compromise their very faith. They would compromise their very faith. Let's look at this passage real briefly in 1 Timothy 6. Let's just look at that and see what brought this all to bear. There's a discontent among people who believe that if you are gaining in this world's goods, you're more godly. That if you have a higher position vocationally or in society or in culture, you're more godly because God is blessing you. Well, what does Paul say to Timothy? He says, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There's a lot of people out there, they think, well, that guy has 250 members in his church. That guy has 50 members in his church. That guy has 1,000 members in his church. Look at his church. Look at his ministry. Look at his worldwide ministry. What does Paul say? Destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That guy has an income of $1.2 million and a 401k of several million dollars and a pension and retirement set up. That gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, it says. Withdraw yourself from that person. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content? There's another scripture that talks about to be content whatever state you're in. And that's not just talking about the state of Missouri or the state of Colorado or the state of Michigan. That's talking about the state of mind. That's talking about where God has placed you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. He's talking about those that are preoccupied with materialism. Now I can hear people not, oh, Larry's into works. No, I'm quoting scripture here. And I'm asking those who hear this message to think about your priorities. Think about your priorities. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. What'd Job say? Naked I came to the world, and naked I will return, you know, leave this world. You know? You know, and he also said, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. There I know people that will never be content. They've got to add another room onto their house. They've got to have a better vehicle. They've got to have a newer vehicle. They have got to have a more accepted vehicle by society. They have got to have a certain style of clothes. You know, I saw a thing on YouTube the other day where one of the queens or one of the king's wives was visiting Trump, and she was trying to outdress Melania Trump and wore a pair of shoes that were $675 to try to trump Trump's wife. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have food to eat? Then Paul says you should be content with that. What's the next one? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. These are the realities of these people that love money. It's a root of all evil. And that's what he says in the next verse. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Well, I love this verse 15. You know, all these people saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. 15 says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the blessed one. You can say you're blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. You know, what's he saying in verse 17? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, if you want to lay up something, if you want to lay up treasures, where should we be laying our treasures at? He says in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, for they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, this is also a warning against, of course, false science, isn't it? Heliocentrism, the lies. Look in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science falsely, so-called. He says, don't call it science. It's not science. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Well, I hope this has caused us to think tonight about where our priorities are, and a warning and an exhortation to all of God's elect. You know, what are we told to do in the Bible? And this message is more to myself than anyone else. It says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we know there's no way we can do that. But we know that we have been given the faith of Christ, and God grants unto us his love, and we're trusting in his righteousness and not our own righteousness. Do we have a final selection? Rosette would like to sing out of the old school hymnal 481, Fear Not Little Flock. You're not little flock. There's a little town in Arkansas called Little Flock. And there's a Primitive Baptist church. I think they're conditionalists, but it's called Little Flock. Or Fear Not Little Flock. This is, of course, taken out of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 34. The souls of those who seek for wealth, the Lord shall soon require. But riches which are stored above shall never there expire. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. Thy Father knows thy need. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. He will his children feed. Behold and see how lilies grow.
They do not toil nor weave, yet kings in all their royal dress are not arrayed like these. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, thy robe is sparkling white. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, the Savior is your light. If God so clothe the forest green, whose leaves will soon be gone, shall he not much more glorify his chosen and foreknown? Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, thy God is on his throne. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not, he'll come and take you home.
Well, what's that?
I have one that 482.
482, okay. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. Yes, it is. You want to start that?
Yeah.
How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Forgetful of his word, forgetful of his word. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Yet sovereign mercy calls, return, dear Lord, and may I come. My vile ingratitude I mourn. Oh, take the wanderer home. Oh, take the wanderer home. Oh, take the wanderer home. My vile ingratitude I mourn. Oh, take the wanderer home. And canst thou, wilt thou yet forgive and bid my crimes remove? And shall a pardoned rebel live to speak thy wondrous love, to speak thy wondrous love, to speak thy wondrous love. And shall a pardoned rebel live to speak thy wondrous love. Almighty grace, thy healing power, how glorious, how divine, that can to life and bliss restore so vile a heart as mine, so vile a heart as mine, so vile a heart as mine, that can to life and bliss restore so vile a heart as mine. Thy pardoning love so free, so sweet, dear Savior, I adore. Oh, keep me at thy sacred feet, and let me rove no more, and let me rove no more, and let me rove no more. Oh, keep me at thy sacred feet, and let me rove no more.
Okay, well, I hope you all have a blessed evening, blessed week, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you on Monday night on Talk Shoe.